Come on.
Are you ready?
Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
I always thought Volvos were German. They're Swedish.
The Swedes make cars?
They've got a great line of hybrids. The XC90 is a great car.
Wait, how the hell do you know so much about Volvos?
Before I bought my car,
You're saying the lady part. I thought you were so confused. How do you know so much about that thing?
Audrey, look through my phone.
If it really is gone off of your phone, that's a huge first step.
he just closed like 7 tabs before
he just deleted it right now. He cleaned it.
Dave and Mahoney.
He got arrested because he was caught pleasuring himself. It was around the produce and other unsealed merchandise.
Where do you think the first part of the produce section would be?
For me, it'd be the kumquats.
You don't even know what a kumquat is.
It's a tomato, isn't it?
It was just called a quat before. Okay.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us on this Monday. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news.
Yeah, some bad news. The latest mega hack comes to us courtesy of AT&T.
Oh, AT&T's, you know, not like any of us use
again.
That.
Uh-huh. 65 million former customers had their data leaked on the web, and 8 million current customers, so you're talking over 70 million people had their data leaked onto the dark web. The leaked data posted 2 weeks ago and dating back to 2019 includes personal information such as Social Security numbers.
That is horrific. And AT&T just like last month had that massive outage. So I wonder if they're connected in any way.
I like that if you canceled your contract with AT&T 5 years ago, they still somehow managed to blow it and give your Social Security number away on the dark web.
Well, why don't they just team up with Equifax and then...
And Experian and TransUnion. Yeah,
and then, they'll just have literally every, they'll have all of our credit information. Now they have all of our information on who we're calling and all of our other personal information. So, cool.
Some good news
today.
It's not
like we need that for anything either.
No, it's not
like our whole lives really depend upon this damn score that, can just really ruin us.
Can somebody just steal my identity and, make it better?
And make some also, payments? where are the hackers that are, stealing everyone's identity? Like, can you just delete what I owe on my mortgage, please?
Yeah, man.
Do some, be the Batman of,
the vigilante.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we need out there, man.
Let's all hack the system in a good way.
Some good news today as well, and thank goodness that they found this kid. Terrifying situation. Some creep was arrested for kidnapping, child endangerment, and motor vehicle larceny because he stole a vehicle that was running outside of a vehicle, and there was a 3-year-old boy inside of the vehicle.
There was a vehicle running outside of a store?
Outside of a store, and okay. Did I say a vehicle outside of a vehicle?
There's a vehicle outside of a vehicle.
What, was this like a sidecar on a motorcycle?
No, the vehicle was outside of a store. Thank you very much for the help there. They had to issue an Amber Alert, and thankfully they found this guy at a nearby fitness facility. I don't know.
He had to go get his workout on.
Obviously, don't leave your 3-year-old unattended in vehicles necessarily. Not a great plan, but still, I can't imagine what that parent was going through. Thankfully, the police were able to activate quickly and get that vehicle that was outside of the vehicle.
Good news for the kid. The mom probably won't leave him in the car alone again.
Yeah, I mean, this would be a learning moment.
I was left in the car all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that was totally standard fare.
literally, I was born 91. I think up until, my whole life, actually. I don't think that there was ever a time that I was not alone in the car.
And never in a car seat, ever.
Oh, and if I was in the car seat, it was in the front, and I was facing the window. And that's actually not a lie.
we grew up punk.
We did, man.
That's why
we're
so strong today. That's right.
Dave and Mahoney. It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So over the past few days, Audrey and I have had legitimately very dramatic stuff that has happened in our lives, but let's lead with the top story. Mahoney had himself a bad Uber ride.
Well, okay. So we were off for a couple of days. And
Mahoney, I saw this in prep, and I just could not wait to hear the story of your Uber ride.
Well, I'm just
lay it on us, brother.
I'm very curious what you guys think about this because, we're off, and so I'm going to meet up with some friends because my wife's working. So, of course, what am I going to do? I'm going to day drink.
Well, duh.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah.
So the Uber picks me up. I get in. It has a aroma to it.
Like weed?
No. I would say a little bit more musky.
Oh, it's the body odor.
So there's something that's going on there. But as soon as I sit down, I notice there is no music playing.
I hate that.
Silence.
And, like, I'm like, bro, we cannot be in this car for 40 minutes with no, because he's not talking either. So there's no like conversation,
which is better.
Happening here.
Yeah, I don't want the conversation. Well, but let me ask. So was this was on the way to the bar or on the way home?
No, this is the way to the bar.
Okay.
I see. I am stone cold sober.
Yeah.
And after about 10 minutes, I've like gone crazy because it's like there's no sound and he's taking surface streets, not getting on the highways. And I'm just like, man, this is going to add another like extra 15 minutes to this ride.
Which is crazy because with ride shares, they don't get paid extra by the minute. So why would he
ever
do
know.
That?
And so I at Mark, at like, because I'm texting my wife. I'm like, dude, there is no radio. There's no music. There's no conversation.
You didn't think to just be like, could you turn on the radio?
Well, my friend who I was meeting at the bar said, hey, ask him to turn it on. Just stop being a bitch.
Well, you were sitting here texting with your friend at the bar.
He's
being like,
out.
I don't know what to do.
He's freaking out.
And she's like, just tell him. And so I do. And he's like, the only conversation that we have in this Uber is radio doesn't work.
Oh, well, you know that on the ride shares that you can rate, like based off of music preferences or like the aesthetic and the vibe that they create within their cars. But,
so
you can knock their points for that.
But I'm like, again, like there's a lot of Uber drivers who listen to us. You know, it's not an easy job. They deal with a lot of a-holes, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's just things happen. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is fine. You know, you'll get that fixed at some point. I'm not gonna knock you on this. But he, since he took the world's worst route to the bar, it took me over an hour to get there.
Wow.
With no radio, no conversation, and a weird, funky must smell. And on top of that, he was a bad driver. Like when the traffic finally opened up on the surface streets, was a bad driver.
Oh, Mahoney, you poor guy.
Like, literally, like, the worst breaker of all time. Like, you know, like, where you're, like, keep, like, slowly moving into the car in front of you.
What else did he do?
I mean, that was it. So I gave him 4 stars.
You gave him 4 stars?
And, I mean, instead of 50% tip. But it was like, I just could not imagine. Like, I'm just sitting there. It was the long, like, if I know I only have, let's say, 2 hours of my life.
Just get back in the car with that guy. It's going to seem like another 15 years.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show. Leave a message for the Dave and Mahoney Show anytime by calling 833-YO-DUMMY. That's 833-963-8669.
To get that, please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, you guys are the only three I've ever heard say Jeff Bezos. Why do you not say Bezos? Have you always said Bezos?
Message deleted.
Is it Bezos?
I say Bezos.
You say Bezos?
Bezos, right?
It's Bezos. Jeff Bezos. Is it Bezos?
Like B-E. That's B.
Okay.
Like B aggressive.
I think it's regional.
B aggressive.
No, it's always been Bezos, but it's like this thing like, with, is it Rihanna or Rihanna?
It's Rihanna.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's
or Rihanna, as in maybe
Fleetwood Mac.
Maybe the greatest Fleetwood Mac song of all time.
Nice reference there, Mahoney. Yeah.
Do what I can.
I think that it's just we don't know how to say their names.
Nor do
so
we care.
I don't care. You can be the richest man in the world, and I'll still mispronounce your name just to make you angry.
Has he ever said his name?
Sure.
I'm sure. I'm like sure it's very, 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 very well
but
documented.
Who cares? But who cares? It's a billionaire. Who cares if we mispronounce his name?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Just an observation, but Audrey and Dave seem to invite a lot of drama into their lives. Every day, they have a different story about something that's interrupting their lives.
Message deleted.
Oh, we don't invite it into our lives. It just casually strolls right on through the front door.
Also, it's called theatrics and being dramatic. I mean, I don't know if you, sir, have things that happen in your life where it's like very minor inconveniences that you just have a grandiose way of making into the largest inconvenience in your entire life, but I definitely have that art.
I don't know, Audrey. I mean, the thing that happened to you over the last few days that we'll share shortly is wild. The thing that happened to me while I was on vacation is wild. I mean, these aren't normal things that happen in everyday life.
Maybe this gentleman is a bad observer. Maybe that's what we'll chalk it up to. He's a bad observer. We just are so good at observing our surroundings. Mahoney, too, by the way. You can't leave him out of this conversation.
Nope, Mahoney is the most dramatic one out of all of us.
He is literally the most dramatic person on the show. There was an arch enemy pug in his neighborhood for years that plagued him.
I think that's what he means, though. Like, actually, like, crazy dramatic stuff happens to us. Mahoney somehow gets furious because he finds a $5 bill in his neighborhood, and then he thinks he gave it back to the wrong person, or they didn't say thank you.
Hey, man, I've returned that money to your grandma.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Unionized strippers, damn. Prices of lap dances just went up.
Message deleted.
What did he say? Unionized strippers. That's, I mean, it's been a story that's been floating around for a long time. There's been a bunch of different efforts to unionize strippers. And then, is that going to...
Where did they unionize?
They've been trying in different places all over the country.
Okay.
What would they be classified under? Like culinary?
Teamsters.
This is Dave and Mahoney. When you're looking for love,
hey baby, you want it?
Then all the wrong places.
You want to see what a mistake looks like?
It's the missed connection inspection on Dave and Mahoney.
You know, everyone's looking for love in their own special way, and some people don't shoot their shot when they have an interaction with somebody in public, so they take it to Craigslist because this always works out, right? Especially when there's really sweet romantic posts like we're about to share with you.
Dave. Many moons ago, when we were young men, we took a solemn oath in our rich friend's dad's wood-laden basement with animal heads adorning the walls, where we put our hands on a stack of Playboys, penthouses, and hustlers, and swore to help these freaks fly their flags as high as they possibly can.
Well, this fella is just looking for a female friend. This is a man for a woman. Hello, all you lovely ladies.
Oh, all.
I'm a white man in my early 60s looking for a female friend that is in the age group 25 to 60 to hang out with and have fun. When our schedules permit, hopefully once a week or so.
It is one of those old-ass women who are 61.
Yeah. Do you love to dance? I'm an excellent dancer. All races welcome. Please have your own transportation. I will strive to respond to any and all posts. Be patient. Looking forward to finding that one special and beautiful friend to enjoy fun times with.
He needs you to be patient because this is his first time, like, actually posting on Craigslist, so he's going to forget. Like, that he ever posted on this.
Because he types with one finger. And also, bro, you can't be out here hustling on Craigslist and not have a car. You got to be able to, like, the reason, like, you expect them to have transportation and come to you? Oh, boy, you are living in a fantasy land.
Mm-hmm. This next one is a woman for a man. It's entitled, I Miss You, Christopher. And this might be to our producer. Christopher, I still want to meet you. Sorry I got busy and was slow to respond. I was very much intrigued, and I'm still interested in meeting. If you see this, hopefully you remember my name. Calling any and all Christophers out there.
Why do they, like, omit key information like your name? Like, yeah. Can you just let us know what your name is? And that way Christopher might know that you're the person that they're looking for.
And I guarantee you, like, if it's that much of a secret, if they have, like, a significant other, or they're not on Craigslist looking as well.
Mm-mm. No, no.
I thought that was Julie.
It might be. She does love you, yeah. This next one here is a bit more sentimental. This is a man for a woman. Its title is Seeking a Sincere and Loyal Spiritually Oriented Girlfriend. I realize it's not an easy task to find such a special and spiritually oriented girl in today's society. Perhaps if such a female does exist, though, it is beyond this medium. There are opportunities to get the hell out of this hellhole town. Don't use yourself or use useless people. Join me and I'll show you the way. Thank you.
What kind of wannabe cult nonsense is this guy out here preaching?
No kidding. Like, I'm going to help you get out of this asshole town. Like, it sounds like a Journey song. And the final one here is a man for a woman. It's entitled Vegan Bitch. I was at a coffee shop in Park Slope. You were sitting next to me talking to your friend about how you're vegan, but you secretly eat eggs. I really wish I had said something to you. Your voice was loud and distracted me from my work. No connection here, but just wanted to let you know I hate you.
Oh, my gosh.
Just a hate note from the internet. You suck.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Mahoney, do you feel like this could possibly be you? I mean, because there's certainly situations where, you know, you could end up owing the government a lot of money if you're not paying your taxes. But there's also that inkling inside you where you just really love gambling.
Oh, you know, Dave. You know I love a good bet or three.
So this guy's name is Michael Brady Scoma. He is a former personal injury attorney from Claremont, and he has been charged with 3 counts of failure to pay taxes after allegedly gambling away the $800,000 that he owed the IRS.
You owe the IRS. Well, I mean, I appreciate the balls on this guy. I mean, you owe the IRS $800,000. It's like, I mean, what's the difference between owing the IRS $800,000 or $1.6 million? Really?
Yeah,
it feels like you're about in the same amount of trouble.
So he reportedly owed over $700,000 in tax liabilities from 2013 to 2019, despite agreeing to refinance his home and using the proceeds. And this is where it really gets dicey. So he agreed to refinance his house and use the proceeds to pay his tax debts. He got his hands on $800,000 and went gambling.
Oh, and he lost it all?
Yep. So the case is being investigated by the Criminal Investigation Department of the IRS. And if convicted, he faces up to 3 years in federal prison, which, you know, isn't really that bad.
Not too bad. You know,
I mean, I imagine, like, if you had $800,000 that you were donking off on gambling and just partying, like, that was probably a pretty fun couple of years.
Well, and Dave, now, you know, since he took out, you know, a mortgage on his house, he's probably going to need shelter for the next couple of years since I don't know how that's going
to
go.
Yeah, he doesn't have any place to live. He accidentally blew $800,000. Yeah. And so now he's got to, you know, spend a little time at the big house, if you will.
Goals.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show. The worst cover songs on the internet have landed here for your enjoyment.
Yeah!
It's Cover Your Ears on Dave and Mahoney.
Cheryl is joining us today for a round of Cover Your Ears. How's it going, Cheryl?
Oh, good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. 30 seconds on the clock for each one of these. Mahoney and Audrey available as lifelines if you need them, but let the full 30 seconds play out before you make your guess. Here we go with number one. Good luck. This one, only 167 views. Stop it right there. Not as bad as I expected, considering it's only got 167 mm-hmm. views, and the name of the band is Spite Extreme Wing.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I can
all
see
right.
them laugh.
Okay.
Cheryl?
That was pretty good.
Do you know it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Beatles, Helter Skelter.
There you go. Easy money. Well done.
All right, Cheryl.
Okay, so no help needed there. On to number two. This next one is the most popular one of the day. 281,000 views
Quite
on this one.
A few views.
Here we go.
Wow. Playing for the high one, dancing with the devil.
Obviously, some real talent there. I looked over and Audrey was actively swing dancing in her chair.
I didn't know I needed that song in ragtime, but
there
I did.
There you go. Cheryl, yeah, do you know that one?
Yeah, that kind of threw me because of the ragtime. I'm going to need help.
Okay, Audrey, you're nodding your head.
Yeah.
Can you help on this one?
Is that Motorhead?
That is Motorhead. Do you know the song?
Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades.
I did not know I needed that. That was so random.
Yeah.
I don't think that I've ever thought, you know what? I think that Motorhead would be great in ragtime, please.
And it was.
We've heard that girl before. I'm a big fan of what she does. Her name is Robin Adele Anderson, if you want to look her up. But she does exactly that, a bunch of covers that you wouldn't
She's
necessarily
great.
Expect. And, I mean, it's working.
And
almost 300,000 views. Yeah. All right, so, Cheryl, you can actually win it right here if you get this one correct. This one is from Mac Glocky. 31,000 views.
No, he's good. He's good.
Is he?
You've heard
he
is good.
Okay.
No, I'm,
okay.
I'm a fan.
Here we go. Have to stop it right there, right before the good part. Yeah, we say that we're never going to stop again, but here we go. Cheryl, for the win, do you know it?
It's on the tip of my tongue. And it won't come off.
I hate it when that happens.
Okay, Mahoney.
So this used to be our unofficial theme song on the Dave Mahoney Show.
What?
It did?
Before me, then. Can we bring it back? I love that.
Oh, yeah. The sexy sax, Dave.
Oh, oh sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This is that's George Michael.
Uh-huh.
And that's Careless Whisperer.
Gosh.
That's correct.
Or yeah. Win. Yeah, we love that sax
open. Okay, cool.
Well done.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Oh, my God. Would you people shut up?
Dave and Mahoney. How do you really feel?
Tell us
by calling the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail at 833-YO-DUMMY.
Yo-Dummy. Please leave a message after the tone.
So I'm listening to your guys' show, and you're going on about things in the ocean that were just discovered and what looks like a killer dildo, and I just think I found a name that the scientists really need to consider, and that is the Kildo. Have a great day, guys.
Message
that is
deleted.
Not how I want to go, my friend.
It is how I want to go.
Different strokes. Different folks.
Sorry, you have more to add?
No, I was going to say, but we can all agree, the ocean is just terrifying, man.
Oh, like, my God.
I saw a video over the weekend of a guy on a paddleboard and two, the like, Shamus rolled up on him.
Yeah, man. Were they Shamus or were they the...
No, they were the Shamus. They were the killer whales.
They were doing, like, a kill attack?
No, they weren't even, like, attacking him, but the dude was like, oh, look at you, you're so pretty. I'm like... You know, these are the smartest thing in the ocean, and they play with, like, seals.
They hunt.
When they're killing them for fun. Like, and you're just like, hey, buddy, while you're on your stand-up paddleboard. Like,
petting
you
are going to
get eviscerated, man.
Like, that's how you lose your, they just take an arm and a leg at a time.
Those things kill great white sharks, and they mess with them while they do it.
Drown them. Right. They drown them. Yes. They play with their food before they eat it. They're like toddlers, but evil.
And humongous.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Answer your question, Mahoney. Yes, there is something better than a McGriddle on this earth. And that is a McGriddle, and instead of sausage, it's got a hot and spicy patty in it. You're welcome. And yes, I know my voice is blown out. Okay, thanks. Later, losers.
Message.
So, did you blow it out from eating too many spicy sausage patties? Like, what happened?
I mean, but this seems like a lot of work to go through. Because, again, when you are talking about breakfast food, which I feel like when it comes to fast food, breakfast is by far the meal that they do better than any other meal, regardless of the fast food chain. And the McGriddle is the king of all breakfast sandwiches. It's two hot little pancake things with some sausage, egg, and cheese. But, like... McDonald's doesn't have a spicy sausage that they can just swap in there. So you would have to go home and do that. That's too much work.
Mm.
I mean, it sounds great. I love the idea of it, but they don't offer that. That's not something I can get today at McDonald's.
The Chick-fil-A breakfast is pretty elite, too. Have you had that?
Oh, I've had them all, Dave.
I don't want chicken for breakfast.
I don't know.
Chicken is reserved for lunch and dinner for me.
The biscuits
are really good, yeah.
But the only thing better than a Chick-fil-A breakfast biscuit is... The McGriddle ends. But we're also seeing, I don't know if you guys saw this, if we have it in prep later on today or not, Krispy Kreme is teaming up with McDonald's now. Krispy Kreme is going to be sold in most McDonald's across the U.S.
America is so fat. I mean, seriously, name a fatter nation. Like, I mean, our bald eagle, like, obviously, America is eagle, right?
Yeah.
Put a beer belly on that guy.
Right.
Like, I mean, we are no longer a strong nation. We are seriously just tubby.
He's going through a divorce. He's going to start hitting the gym again, get that TRT replacement, and get on the Rogaine. That bald eagle is going to be back.
Are you saying that our bald eagle is lacking testosterone?
Yeah. Like,
he needs to get back on trend.
Studies have shown that all men in America, you know, our T is down, unfortunately.
Our T is down.
The bald eagle's going to be wearing two pages, be like, call me Eagle from now on.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Why does nobody know how to drive in a roundabout?
Message deleted.
You know, people don't know how to drive in general. I will say that I've always fancied myself a good roundabout driver. But have y'all ever been in a roundabout that has like five lanes?
Oh, those are chaos.
Scary.
Because I was in one of those in Houston and I quickly realized I do not know how to drive in a five-lane roundabout. I'm like dodging cars and there's kids in the back seat I'm getting honked at.
I have gone around in a roundabout multiple times because I have not known how to get off. And that's not a lie. Like twice. I have had to circle around twice to figure out like how to do it. Not because I don't know how, but because multi-lane situations and too many cars and I just get...
And then everyone's watching. They're like, that poor girl just can't get off. Look at her. She's just stuck in the roundabout.
Let's go back. Kill them.
Dave and Mahoney. Blitz, glamour, and out-of-touch celebrities.
Well, that's redundant.
It's Pop Trash.
I'm Dave and Mahoney.
They keep adding more and more star power to this Billy Joel 100th Madison Square Garden concert special. It's coming up April 14th on CBS. Going to be on Paramount Plus as well. But Sting is going to be a part of it. And then comedian Jerry Seinfeld as well.
Okay, that's an interesting couple that they've put together.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, what is Jerry Seinfeld going to do? I mean, like, Sting, it's another musician. He actually performed on one of Billy Joel's songs, Big Man on Mulberry Street. And, you know, so, I mean, that would make sense.
Like, you're going to tell some jokes in there? Is it going to be like one of those old school hip hop albums where you always had skits, comedy skits in between the tracks?
And the drummers, like, Billy Joel gets to take a break and the drummer just has to stay out there for the boom. Yeah. While Jerry Seinfeld does a set. I don't know.
It would be the bassist that stays out for Seinfeld.
That does make sense. Billy Joel, though, 74 years old, will conclude his 10-year monthly residency in Madison Square Garden this summer after his career 150th performance at the venue. So,
wow. I
mean, certainly an iconic run for Billy Joel. You know, his new song that he put out is really good.
Yeah.
So he's still got it. And Billy Joel going to be celebrated in kind of a big way here with some big stars joining the fun on CBS. Godzilla and Kong smashing at the box office. I didn't even know this was a movie.
Oh, yeah. This is a sequel to the last one. I mean, the MonsterVerse, Dave, from Universal's actually getting pretty big. And the Kongverse, you know, they're calling it the MonsterVerse. I mean, is doing pretty well.
I mean, I'm sure that I'm just not like the target audience, so I'm not seeing the ads for this, but the fact that it comes out and does $80 million at the box office.
So it's because of all, and Mahoney, you might be able to like kind of co-sign on this. I feel like the reason why they're doing so well, there's not a lot of like writing that goes into it. It's all of the effects. Like, you're seeing these monsters in massive CGI fighting each other.
These are movies that you want to see. Like, I mean, theaters. It's like the Fast and the Furious, mm-hmm. but I mean, you take two iconic intellectual properties like Kong and Godzilla, you throw them together. We saw that once. And I saw that. That's a movie I saw in the theater when it was out the first time around, plus the other Godzilla movies and the Kong movies. They're big, dumb movies, but there's also, Dave, now there's a component which adds a little bit more of the writing into it, and it's called Monarch. That's on Apple Plus. I don't know if you've seen that. It's got, you know, that also expands that universe even more. And, you know, Apple Plus kind of has their, you know, their finger on the pulse of what could be big. So I think that probably played a part in this movie being a success in a non-summer opening.
And Monarch is Godzilla.
It's the whole world, the Kong and the Godzilla world, but mainly focusing on the monsters from Godzilla.
Interesting.
So I love that Larry David, who is a curmudgeon in real life, is just letting everyone see it. So he was at a basketball game for the tournament, and he's plugging his ears because some fan from the other team is cheering behind him. He was mad because it kept showing him on the Jumbotron. Like, Larry David has become his character of Larry David.
Well, he said that he wishes he could be that Larry in real life. Yeah. And I think that he's leaning into it, art imitating life, or life imitating art.
Did you see this whole dust-up between him and Chris Wallace on CNN? So I guess Chris Wallace asked him what he is worth, like his financial situation, like how much are you, because he's got all that Seinfeld money and everything else.
Well, and Curb money.
And Curb as
20 years of Curb.
Yeah. And Larry David was like pissed, like started cursing about it and said that it was like asking somebody about their marital sex life, you know? And
I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, it's the fact that Larry's a public person and, you know, Seinfeld, we know that deal was one of the biggest in television history with the syndication that went everywhere. We know Larry is balling, but he's also a guy who doesn't, like, when you think of like somebody who's probably a billionaire, you don't think Larry David.
But also, yeah. Crappy reporting, CNN. You can literally just Google that answer.
You could probably find it out and know it.
You can absolutely figure out any celebrity's net worth by just typing in Larry David's net worth and getting that answer. I mean, it just feels, I'm kind of on Larry's side with this because you're not asking Emma Stone or Ryan Gosling or Margot Robbie in the middle of an interview whenever they've got shows going on or movies going on. That's terrible. That's a horrible, horrible question to ask.
And Larry David let him know it.
This is the Dave and Mahoney
this
Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So I've been planning my wife's 40th birthday for a long time. And the way that it was going to start is that we were going to a place called Amelia Island, which is in Florida off the coast. It's really pretty. It's kind of like Hilton Head in South Carolina, just sort of like a relaxed beach type area. I had to do some work there, but my wife came with me because it was our anniversary. And I was like, it'd be nice before we go on this vacation that's actually for your 40th birthday for you to just have like a couple of days where you can relax and enjoy the pool and do some
nice
reading.
Hotel, spa,
sure,
type
all
stuff.
That, all
sure,
that stuff.
That's,
just
oh, heaven.
Relax.
Should have
right?
taken me, you son of a bitch. Where were you on my 40th birthday?
So we get through that, and I'm all excited because now I'm officially on vacation by the time that wraps up, and we're flying on Sunday, and we're going to Cabo. But because we're going across the whole country from Florida, we have to stop in Dallas and then down to Cabo. And as soon as we land in Dallas, I get this text message from my mother-in-law. And thankfully, like, I'd bought the Wi-Fi on the plane, so I knew that, like, the text message actually came through right away. But I get a text message from my mother-in-law that says, we have a huge emergency. Call me ASAP. And so I look at my wife and I show her the text message and she just instantly grabs my phone and calls her mom. Now, thankfully, this is as soon as we had touched down, but we're still on the plane and, like, you know, they're starting the deboarding process and all of that while we're trying to figure out what's going on. Thankfully, we have a good cell phone connection, all of that. But my mother-in-law starts the call with my wife and she is in tears.
Oh, well, my gosh. As a parent, you just are instant.
And she goes, Duke got out of his crib. And my wife is like, what is happening right now? What do you mean he got out of his crib? Where is he? Did he go outside and get hit by a car? Because she's hysterical and like crying.
Of course.
And my wife is just like, say it. What is going on? And she goes, he went into his bathroom and he was brushing his teeth. He woke up this morning and was brushing his teeth, and he's got like a faucet on his sink that if you hit it to the side, it can go to the side. And I guess he did that and then just left the water running. And so my mother-in-law is freaking out because it's not just like the bathroom upstairs where there's water. It's leaking down into the dining room, which is below his bedroom.
So,
like, coming out of the light fixtures, down onto the floor, onto the dining room table. Like, it is a mess.
I mean, so this thing had to have been on for several minutes. Well, maybe not hours, but several minutes.
It was several minutes, according to her at least. But, I mean, it was significant enough where, like, because the guy came out, the water damage people, and he had his little meter. And he's showing me these spots, like, in the carpet and, you know, in not just Duke's room, but Ruby's room, which is a room over.
See, several minutes to me. Does water travel that fast?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It
water
does.
Damage is the worst.
He had the water on full blast, and it was just...
Oh,
and
my gosh.
And then he was taking the readings on the wall downstairs in the dining room, and I'm like, so is 100 bad? He's like, yeah, we traditionally want that between 0 and 5%.
Mm.
And that's the wall downstairs in the dining room. And so, you know, I'm just, you know, shook because I thought something terrible had happened.
Well, I'll say
to my
this
son.
About your mother-in-law. She knows how to plant the seed, man.
That's right. Yeah.
Like if she's ever taken like a social media course or talked to a radio consultant, got the hook in right
sure
away.
Did.
Like
we
I mean,
were
you could
invested.
Have just been you could have just said, "Hey, Duke left the water running there's and the house is flooded a little bit," rather than like, "My child is dead." Because that's what you want to
you probably
like, think about.
You probably could have texted that instead
no,
of we have a huge emergency.
SOS, right. We have a flood.
Right.
Yeah, why are you leading like you are baiting the hook and you are the fish?
Well, it's because she's trying to put the blame on Duke. So she was trying to go, Duke got out of his crib, not, oh my gosh, while I was watching your child,
no,
they flooded the entire house.
This is so brilliant on her part because you feign that the child is dead.
Yes.
Because
anything but the dead child, you're like, this is okay.
Yeah.
This is great.
Everything that's not a dead child, fine.
So this is keep in mind, this is the very start of the actual vacation for my wife's birthday.
You haven't even started.
We haven't even gotten to Cabo
yet.
Yeah,
you're still in transit.
We're on a layover in Dallas.
So are you thinking about all the ways that you could return all of her gifts so that you can have fund this
the
now
money.
Flood?
So this was all new territory to me. So my wife goes, you know, we have homeowners insurance. This is covered, right? And I'm like, I think so.
Flood insurance is
but
water
it's,
damages.
It's accidental. And so I talked to my insurance company, and it is covered.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
She goes, well, what is the deductible? And, you know, I'm just like, you know, I'm talking to my mother-in-law. I'm like, hey, don't worry about it. This is a material thing. This is not nearly as bad as it could be, or at least what you made us think it was.
God, she's so good.
And
she's so good.
And so I'm like, just don't worry about it. And my wife goes, hey, what is the deductible for our homeowner's insurance? And I've never made a claim with a homeowner's insurance before.
Same.
And I'm like, I don't know, $1,000, $1,500.
Like, you're thinking it's something like car insurance,
something like
maybe?
Car insurance,
what
right?
What if you pay into it every month and you expect the deductible to be about like what health insurance would be, right?
What do you think it is?
$15,000?
No, it's not $15,000, but it's $6,000.
Oh,
And so the minimum it's probably going to cost me is $6,000 because...
Well, I think you're going to get... I mean, because water damage of that sort is probably in the tens of thousands at this point.
Probably, because they're going to have to like... And by the way, this all happened in the dining room downstairs, which is one of the very few rooms that we've just totally finished. So that makes it extra awesome. Like all this hardwood that was laid down, they're going to have to rip all that out and put new stuff in.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
It's... You gotta get a sink that locks?
Yeah.
Or just maybe like, turn off the water.
Turn off the water, man. Like rip the sink out. They don't need sinks.
So I didn't tell my wife this, but the whole time that we're on vacation, because you know we have this whole vacation plan. In the back of my mind, I'm just like, I really shouldn't be spending any more money on this. I got a $6,000 deductible as soon as I get home.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Dave and Mahoney present: Are you smarter than a community college dropout?
Probably not.
Rick is joining us today for a round of Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout? And Rick, I always love it personally when Mahoney loses just because he's so smug and he just lies about always winning. So I love when somebody takes him down. Tell us about your level of education. How far did you get to school, Rick?
Some college, very little.
Okay, so much like Mahoney, and some college.
And it's kind of funny that I called in to tell you guys I'm the guy that's doing your shirts.
Yes, you said that you were going to make Mahoney a custom Tommy Bahama shirt. And
I made both of you a custom shirt, and I wanted to let you know what the status was. My machine broke down. Hopefully I'll have the last one done today.
Well, very nice.
That's the reason I called in. I got to be a contestant, so this is pretty cool.
Works out pretty well. Okay, so Mahoney, you're going to take your headphones off and head to a soundproof space where he's not able to hear. You guys are going to be asked the same questions today. I'm not going to give you the correct answer, Rick, until Mahoney has come back in and given his answers as well. Are you ready for the first one?
Let's go.
Okay, question number one. And by the way, you do have a pass. You can use it whenever you want. Use it sooner rather than later if you feel like you need it. First one here is, what city and state is Gonzaga University located in?
Pass.
All right. Question number two, what is the atomic symbol for gold?
Oh, God. Don't know. Look, I can, how many lifelines do I get?
None. You're on your own, man.
Super.
Okay. question number three. What is the primary ingredient in a falafel?
What?
Flour.
All right. Question number four. True or false, Maine is the closest U.S. state to Africa?
What? These questions.
What'd you say, Rick?
False.
Okay. Question number five. What is the title of the very first Harry Potter book?
Do you think I know this one?
Depends on whether or not you're in the States or in the UK, by the way.
We will actually accept both answers as being correct. But I assume that Rick is probably in the States considering he's listening to us.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Don't know it.
All right.
I read the first three, too.
Final one. Who wrote the Declaration of Independence?
Ben Franklin.
Okay. All right. Mahoney is...
Close. I can't even think this morning.
Mahoney is going to re-enter the room, and let's see how Mahoney does today. Take your time,
buddy. I lost. Mm-hmm. I already know.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right. Let's go.
I do think that Mahoney may call these dumb questions. We'll see.
I think I would co-sign on that.
All right. Question number one. What city and state is Gonzaga University located in?
Pass.
Okay. You passed and Rick both passed. It's Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that until I flew into Spokane. I'm like, oh, no kidding. There's Gonzaga. How about that?
Because like they're a pretty good basketball. Yeah.
Good cheese.
Good basketball program, though.
And yeah. I thought they were in Texas for a very long time.
question number two. What is the atomic symbol for gold, Mahoney?
AU.
AU is correct. This man's blinged out. He knows.
I'm wearing my gold chain.
Where's gold chain? Come on, man. Mahoney got that right. Rick got that wrong.
He's got AU inscribed on his pinky ring.
What is the primary ingredient of a falafel?
Chickpeas.
Chickpeas is correct.
Watching Tournament of Champions with Guy Fieri last night. They hit one of the secret ingredients was fresh chickpeas.
Mahoney got that right. Rick got that wrong.
Oh, no.
Question number four. True or false? Maine is the closest U.S. state to Africa.
True.
Mahoney got that correct. Rick what? Got that wrong.
It's further east than Florida.
Yeah.
What?
Question number five. What is the title of the first Harry Potter book?
and the Sorcerer's Stone.
In the United States, that is correct. The Philosopher's Stone over in the UK because they're fancy.
We don't recognize that garbage.
Mahoney got that right. Rick got that incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Final question. Who wrote the Declaration of Independence?
Thomas Jefferson?
Mahoney got that correct. Rick.
These are great questions. What are we talking about? Whoever wrote these questions this week? I mean, brilliant.
Wow. I mean, I don't think we've ever had better questions.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for Dave and Mahoney? Call 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please record your message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I was wondering if you think if Kurt Cobain had not died, do you think Foo Fighters would have ever been a thing?
Message deleted.
Absolutely not.
No, I mean, definitely not. I mean, it's so interesting to think about the trajectory of bands and how sad it is that a lot of times when the life is cut short of one of the, you know, kind of musical icons, because Kurt Cobain, whether you like Nirvana or not, he started a revolution with a whole new sound of music.
He killed like hair metal.
Yeah.
I mean, like, literally, you killed an entire genre of music and with what you did.
I'm always curious, you know, what it would be like with those bands if they had continued on. Because what was it? Was it Kurt Cobain's, like, 50th birthday or 60th birthday or something like that?
Yeah, he was part of the 26 Club.
Yeah. But, you know, like, would they still be making music? Would they still be making good music? Do they just have those albums in them? You know, you just never know. And it's just, it's, you know, part of life, I guess.
And Dave Grohl loved Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
You know, like, he wouldn't have left.
Well, I also think that the unfortunate reality is that if he wouldn't have had the unfortunate passing the way that he did, the drug addiction probably would have caught up with him at some point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it wasn't one, it was going to be the other.
If he wasn't murdered by Courtney Love, it would probably be the drugs.
The heroin. Yeah.
So I went back because, you know, Nevermind is older than you now, Audrey, because you were born, what, 92?
One.
91. So it came out in 91. Yeah. So it's, you know, 30
actually,
plus
Audrey
years
actually
old.
Actually popped out with a little CD in her hand. They delivered at the same time. She was the baby.
I was the naked baby on the cover.
She has made some changes since.
Or have I?
I can't listen to any of the songs that have been on the radio for 30 plus years because I've heard them so many times I'm just tired of them.
Sure.
But I went back and listened to like the deeper cut tracks off of Nevermind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, this is so good. I love this. But it's just interesting to, like, you know, get that feeling from that album again.
Because it's nostalgic.
But it's just because it's like we don't hear those songs, you know, on a regular basis. The time, right?
Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Audrey. You talked about getting another pack. Have you ever thought about a rabbit? Thank you. Listen to you all the time.
Message deleted.
Wow, you are so sweet. I would love a farm, Ali. I would love a farm. I would add any type of animal to the roster. Rabbit. I don't know. Maybe a cow would be nice. I would totally do that. But I would also not be a very good farmer.
Would you ever consider adding like a giant python and becoming one of those weird snake chicks?
Like Britney Spears in the Toxic music video?
Yeah, but but just have that slithering around your house at all times. Keep the other pets on edge.
There's nothing worse than a sneaky snake. I don't think I would like that. I don't want unknown snakes hiding about.
You don't like surprise snakes?
Mm-mm. A lot of small pets who I would imagine would probably be appetizers.
Very tasty.
For a snake. My wife had a rabbit as a child. His name was Barrington.
Barrington?
Barrington the rabbit?
Yeah.
Really?
Very formal
that
name.
Is so
I
on brand for
your
wife
so much, and that is so on brand for her to have the Barrington the rabbit. That is so cute.
Yeah, he was a good rabbit.
My sister has a rabbit named Jovi after Bon Jovi. And that's also on brand for her. But the fact that your wife's like, this is my rabbit Barrington.
He had a monocle.
I love when people name their pets something so ridiculous like that. Like, what do you mean this is your pet hair? Like, Harold, even. I don't know. Or, like, I had a friend named her cat Jessica. Like, why?
Jessica?
And every time Jessica would do something, that's exactly how you have to say it. Jessica.
Oh, see, I've never even thought of this pun. Ogre just said Bon Jovi.
Mmm. Bon Jovi.
Good rabbit name.
Jose here. Just wanted to answer that lady's question about the dream about the pineapple. It's not a bad thing. It just means you're gonna, it's either success, wealth, or prosperity. Or alternatively, it may indicate a need for self-care or indulgence. Huh. Sounds familiar.
Message
deleted. You have a dream about a pineapple, Audrey?
No, but I love looking up dreams. And I'm like this guy where a pineapple, yes, it means that I need some self-care for
no,
sure.
That's not what it means at all. It means that you are a swinger and you live in Florida. That's it.
No, man, that's they put a bath scrunchie on their cars now.
Oh, in the Villages, that's right.
Yeah, that's how they tell who's swinging and who's
but
not.
But the color is dependent on what,
you're into.
What you're into.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, honestly, if I lived in the Villages, which, as you guys know, is a lifelong dream of mine to retire in the Villages, I'm just going to go around and just put different colored scrunchies on people's cars and just see what happens.
You're a villain.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Have you guys seen the Roadhouse movie with Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor yet?
I mean, I know about it, but I have. I mean, like, I've seen the original. I'm not going to watch. You know, it's hard to top Patrick Swayze in my book, and Conor McGregor's not the guy to do it.
So I haven't watched it. My husband did, and he said he started it because he loves Jake Gyllenhaal. He knows Jake Gyllenhaal does great boxing movies and has in the past,
sure,
a couple of them.
Yeah.
And he's a casual fan of Connor. So he went in with an open mind, and he said he hate watched the entire thing because Connor is just kind of doing that, like, the gorilla walk that he does the entire time. That's just kind of his existence in the movie.
Conor McGregor is
just
playing
coked out.
Conor McGregor.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
I mean, are we shocked that he doesn't have a, you know, a wide... you know, what's the guy's name?
Sir Anthony Hopkins?
Anthony Hopkins, Denzel Washington, level of range that he plays Conor McGregor, you know?
No, I mean, Conor McGregor is definitely playing Conor McGregor in the film, and I think that that's fine. But here's something that shocked me when I saw it. Conor McGregor has just gotten what I think is pretty nuts. Over $5.5 million for this movie, which is the highest amount of money ever paid to a first-time actor.
To a tertiary character also. I mean, like, Connor's team is really, really great at getting Connor paid.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a garbage-ass whiskey that's still selling, and it's one of the worst whiskeys out there, but it's still on store shelves everywhere. Yeah, his team, Conor McGregor's team may be the best marketing team we've ever seen.
For sure.
So Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he got $5.5 million for the Mummy Returns.
Team?
No, for the Mummy Returns, so you're close. What?
Wasn't his first movie The Scorpion King?
I think it's The Mummy Returns, according to this article, at least. You could be
You know, you're right. You are right. That was The Mummy 2, Dave. That's why I'm thinking Scorpion King 2, yes. He was The Scorpion King.
There's, you know, other first-time actors as well, but there's no one near that that amount of money, unless you want to count, like, Michael Jordan, because he had a back-end deal for Space Jam. He ended up making, like, $20 million off that, but it wasn't upfront money that Conor McGregor was getting paid. And, like you said, kind of a tertiary character, maybe not a great movie, still Conor McGregor getting paid.
I'm wondering, though, because you're talking about Michael Jordan and all the back pay he would be getting from Space Jam, and I'm wondering, though, if it was just $5 million flat instead of getting some, like, streaming residuals.
I don't know, man. Like you said, Conor McGregor's people tend to be pretty smart about this stuff.
They are.
So maybe he's got more money. They're saying over $5.5 million with the final amount still not disclosed. So it sounds like he's got something else coming down the pipe.
I just love that your husband hate watched the whole movie.
The whole thing. I was like, did you not turn it off? He was like, no, I just was fuming the entire time. I was like, you're an idiot. Like, turn it off.
My brother-in-law said he watched it. He's like, yeah, it seemed like they spent all their money on Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor because everything else just seemed cheap.
Which, again, you know that Jake Gyllenhaal can do boxing movies. So the thought of them being paired together, maybe it's not Conor's fault. Maybe it's not Jake's fault. Maybe it's just really crappy writing.
But you have the subject matter. It's a remake. How do you screw it up, man?
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
They may not have money to feed their family, but they have enough for a pack of Pall Malls and a Powerball ticket. It's the Redneck Report on Dave and Mahoney.
To kick off today's Redneck Report, we start with a gentleman who figured out a way to get arrested while at work, and he did it in one of the most dramatic ways possible. So this takes us back to the end of last month on March 27th. This guy, his name is Coleman Ferguson. He was driving one of those Google Street View cars. You know what I'm talking
about?
Okay,
so he's got a job with Google.
So he's driving around, and, like, it's one of the most obvious vehicles that you can see on the road, right?
Because
it's got the cameras all over it.
The big thing
Google
on the roof.
On the side. Yeah.
Sure.
So it's not exactly inconspicuous. You're not really blending in. Well, this fellow, who's 37 years old, admitted to reckless operation of the camera-equipped vehicle. And part of me really wants to see that footage from when he was running from the cops, because that's exactly what he did. He faces a Class A misdemeanor because he was spotted by police driving at 120 miles per hour.
He really wanted to get those streets mapped, man.
Can you do that quick? Like, do you just want to get the job done?
I appreciate
he had some booty waiting for him at home or
that's
something?
That's right, man. He needed to get done.
So he was going 120. The cops spot him. They start chasing him, and he runs.
Are you impressed that car can do 120? Because I am.
Absolutely.
I would have guessed that thing couldn't go more than 65.
Exactly. And 120, I guess. And he eventually lost control of the car, and it crashed into a creek, which, again, I really want to see that footage.
Like, again, I want to see where that Google Maps goes.
So now we know the answer. If you canoodle yourself in public in front of police officers at a convenience store, how long you'll get as a prison sentence.
Oh, how long, Dave?
15 months is what it's going to be for the 35-year-old woman. Her name is
Celia. Oh, is a lady canoodling herself?
Yeah, I feel like it probably would have been more if it was a guy, but yeah. Because she's 35. She looks like she's 55.
I don't know,
55.
Man. I feel like if you're doing diddling your diddle in front of officers, that's got to be pretty graphic. So 15 months, I feel like, is light.
So she, I guess, went into this gas station, started threatening store workers, pulled out like a vegetable peeler and was saying she was going to stab people.
Oh, I was thinking the worst.
Different. Destroyed some merchandise, and then when the cops showed up, she was fully naked and started pleasuring herself in front of them, which is real chaotic.
Can you imagine that? Oh, my Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Do not do that. I mean, there is probably nothing more graphic and disgusting as a thought of a person diddling themselves in a gas station.
And I'm just like, lady, I'm just here to get a gas station hot dog. Can you please move?
I need a lighter.
She said, did you say gas station hot dog?
That'll be 15 more months.
And finally, Yoda got arrested. A Coral Springs family said that they were having a quiet dinner when they were interrupted by an attempted burglary. And this fella, whose last name is actually Yoda, he's 30 years old. I guess he was trying to pry open their sliding glass door with a crowbar.
Hell,
not
while
even
they're
using
having
the force?
Dinner?
Didn't even use the force.
Yeah. He didn't even use a lightsaber.
What kind of BS bitch Jedi is he trying to pull here?
What makes it even more chaotic is that he was doing this while wearing a white sheet over his head.
Oh, God.
Like you dressed up as Casper and then went out robbing. Like, what are you doing? So the homeowner comes out, yells at this guy, thinking that he's going to spook him off because, hey, people are home.
Sure.
And the guy gets yelled at, starts pacing back and forth, and then starts to try to break back in again, which is really scary.
Drugs.
Yeah. So called 911, and they apprehended this fella, Yoda, with the help of a canine unit, which I always love. Can you just imagine this idiot running away from a police dog wearing a white sheet over his head and then just down he goes.
We've seen this in history before.
For sure.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
So I was telling you guys about that wonderful adventure of going on vacation and then realizing before we even got to our destination that our son had flooded the upstairs, our three-year-old son Duke, and it was dripping down into the dining room and it was just a mess and so, you know, it's going to cost us thousands of dollars to fix and all that great stuff. Well, so I want things to get off on the right foot. So after all that drama that day, we land in Cabo on Sunday, and I have this really romantic dinner planned. And I'm not traditionally the big romantic dinner guy. I like big dinners and going out to, like, fun places. Mm-hmm. But
that's usually with a lot of people, though.
There was four of us that went. So there's one other couple that had gotten there on Sunday. And they're good friends of ours, but they live in San Diego, so we don't see them that often. And so we were really looking forward to, like, a dinner with just them. And it's at this place in Cabo called Sunset Mona Lisa. And it's got all these great reviews. I've never been there, but the whole thing is that if you get there...
Sounds like it could be romantic.
Around sunset time, the sun sinks into the sea and it's overlooking Cabo.
Was it like French food?
No, it's hard to describe. I mean, because they have like chef tasting menus. Then they have like traditional stuff where they have like steak and all that.
Sure, but I mean just the name, like Mona Lisa invokes Paris, yeah. Which invokes romance, and also you're in a tropical destination like Cabo.
It was kind of all over the place, yeah. But they had all the things like seafood and steak and all that you would enjoy. And again, this was kind of like the hard reset after this super dramatic day. And I will say that I totally blew it.
Oh, no, Dave.
So we get there, and the restaurant is on, like, the top of this resort, and it overlooks the entire, bay and everything
that
else.
That would be a beautiful view.
Well, it would have been if there wasn't sustained 28-mile-per-hour winds. Sustained. Not even gusts. Sustained. So we get there, and thankfully, before we left the resort, we're like, wow, it is really cold. Because, you know, like, my wife's wearing this, like, beautiful dress and like, you know, and she's like, I'm freezing.
If like, you're going to a place like Cabo, you're wearing and you're going out for your 40th birthday, you're wearing, you know, your little get up or whatever, but you're going out to dinner.
You're and, going out close.
And you're expecting it to be pretty warm. Mm-hmm. It was not that night. And so she's like, hey, run up to the room and get me my jacket. And that was the cue for my buddy that was with us. Like, we're also going to go up to the rooms and get our hoodies because it's that cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sure enough, we go up there and we get the hoodies. And when we get to the restaurant, it is so bitterly cold that they had three heaters around our table.
Was it only outside seating?
It was only outside seating.
No way.
And they'd obviously dealt with it before because they came over there like, would you like large, like, ponchos to wear? And so we're wearing these large ponchos. And we have the three heaters, and it's still not helping at all. It's frigid. But I had gone to the extent of, like, getting the flower package at the premier table. So they have this bouquet of flowers on the table.
So it was just a
blowing away.
Yeah.
They're just, like, stuff's flying off of them the whole time. I got the picture package, and so there's pictures of us, like, wrapped in ponchos just freezing at this table.
That is a memory.
It's a memory. But
that's
just
a memory.
Just to give you an idea of how windy it was, we're wrapped in the ponchos with the heaters around the table, and they brought out these wooden blocks. I've never seen this before in my life, that you slide your wine glass or your drink glass into so it won't go
blowing away,
blowing away in the wind.
So it's like a weight.
It was heavy enough to make sure nothing moved on the table. But if they hadn't been there, the glasses would have been blown all over the place.
So in college, we used to do this thing where would we get ready for, you know, a night during the wintertime or in springtime, and we would call it getting our bourbon coat on, where you would literally just liquor up in order to, you know, wear not a jacket because you weren't packing a jacket to go to any type of party, right?
Yeah.
Were you guys getting your, like, your liquor jacket on, your bourbon coat?
It's hard to believe it was too cold to drink.
No way.
So we're just, like, sober and freezing and...
And you totally did not get laid, huh?
I did not.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
New message.
Call the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY.
That's 833-963-8669.
Please leave a message after the tone. Hey, Dave Mahoney. I was listening to your show. You guys were talking about rating your childhood birthday party memories, and you said bouncy castles and stuff for an 8. Growing up in the later 90s and early 2000s, I'd say laser tag was probably that 9. I love listening to your show. Have a good one.
Message deleted.
I'd say as a parent, like, sending your kids into laser tag and then them just being preoccupied for, like, a couple hours is also a pretty strong move.
See, but I feel like now, Dave, that you're raising kids, the laser tags and, you know, the discovery zones or the ball pits, they don't really exist
as much, man.
Or even Chuck E. Cheese. Those don't exist, but the third worst, more evil option, the bounce house, indoor bounce houses or the air jump places just break your arm. By walking in the door.
My daughter has a friend at school, another 8-year-old, that just snapped her arm. Because have you seen at the, like, the trampoline parks where they have that thing that whips around and is intended to basically knock you over? You're supposed to, like,
looks like
jump
something
over.
From American Gladiators.
Or, like, Wipeout, you know, that show. That was, and you're like, what are we doing putting kids on trampolines with something that is intentionally going to launch them onto a rogue limb?
Roll your ankle? I don't know. I feel like... You know, that's one way to get your deductible met.
So we didn't have a lot of money growing up, so we didn't ever host the, like, laser tag tournaments or anything along those lines. But so we would have, like, birthday parties at the house and have a couple friends over. But one year, my mom got me a tetherball pole for
she
my
did what?
Birthday. And
what?
We had a tetherball tournament on my birthday.
She rented it?
No. Like, we, so we took it, like, here's how, like, you know,
what?
Like, broke ingenuity, took a tire, filled it with cement, and had a big giant pole.
A stripper pole.
And like a flag pole. Yeah.
Like a pole that you put in there.
Also could double as a stripper pole.
Could also double as a mobile stripper pole. But set up a tetherball on that thing and had a tetherball tournament from one of my birthdays. That was probably my favorite.
That's because you probably won because you're tall.
Yeah,
and
man.
You played volleyball.
Yeah, well, it was before I played volleyball. This was like in elementary school. But I did win that tetherball tournament. Still one of my most proud athletic achievements to this day.
Did you keep it in the backyard?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, we had that tetherball thing. I mean,
I think it's probably still standing today.
Till we, well, my basketball hoop that we put in there is still standing at that house. I drove by not too long ago, but the tetherball, I think they finally they got rid of it. But we didn't. It was there until I moved out at, like, you know, 21.
They don't tetherball anymore, do they?
They do. At my wife's school, they have tetherball.
Really?
They're like redoing the pavement right now, and they're making sure to put in tetherball.
There is nothing that I love more than playing tetherball with somebody who is bad at it and seeing them miss the ball and it just hits them right in the face.
But because no one knows the rules.
Doesn't matter.
You could
there
smack
are no
somebody.
Rules.
No, it was like, here's the Tarzan, here's the Godzilla. And I'm like, you just made all of that up.
You can hit it however you want, yeah, just as long as you're hitting it.
When you get that thing going too, it's like 200 miles an hour. And just pop, pop, pop. Sweetest feeling alive.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, hilarious. And if I weren't driving when you were talking about pickles the other day, it would have been a real ROTF moment because I got a flashback to my four-year-old niece saying, no, Mom, don't cut my sandwich straight up and down. Cut it diagonally because it tastes delicious when you cut it on a diagonal. Thank you for the ROTF moment.
Message deleted.
R-O-T.
Rolling on the floor.
Rolling on the floor.
Okay. Well, but he didn't put, like, he's just rolling on the floor. He's not laughing. It's R-O-T-F-L. Like, bro, you're just like, what are you, like, on fire? You're just rolling on the floor? And everybody knows when you cut a grilled cheese sandwich or a peanut butter jelly sandwich diagonally, it tastes at least 50% better.
So
made,
funny.
It's more, Mahoney, made worth the love.
He spontaneously combusted as soon as you said that joke.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So what could be worse than me going on vacation and at the very start of the vacation finding out that my three-year-old son, who's being watched by grandma at the house, had flooded the upstairs and it had dripped down into the dining room and was coming out of the light sockets, the whole bit. What could possibly be worse than that? And then Audrey shared her story with us, and it's been kind of messing with you these last couple of days.
So I have not been able to get this out of my head literally since the day that I saw it. Once I tell you what it is, I think you'll finally kind of go, oh, yeah, I think that that would plague me as well. Let me preface with this. I have only ever gone to a funeral one time, okay? Okay. And that messed me up pretty bad. I have been very fortunate to not have anybody close to me pass. So I have never seen a dead body really ever, like ever.
Yeah.
And my husband and I, we were driving back from the gym and we were pulling into my complex and I see all kinds of fire trucks and, you know, in the past year, what is one of the things that have been happening in my complex all of the time? Fire alarms nonstop, all of the time getting pulled or pipes broken to where the fire team has been out there. And I was like, oh no, not again. The fire alarms are going off. No. I pull in to my complex and we look over to the right and there is a body covered in a tarp, literally from the front door of my complex, like person laid out by the front door of my complex. And I did not know how to react. Like I just full blown stopped my car and asked, I was like, what's going on? Because I didn't know. Did someone get shot? I wanted to know that before I made my way up into my complex. What happened?
If I see a body in front of like the door with a tarp over it, I'm assuming somebody probably got shot.
Right?
Yeah. Also, yes.
And so,
I don't think that's like out of the realm of possibilities.
But after doing a little more investigation, like you found out this wasn't like just some random thing or somebody that was a drifter that, you know, had OD'd or whatever. Like this person lived in your complex.
The fourth floor is madhouse. I live on the madhouse floor. I mean, whenever I say the things that have happened on my floor are unfathomable. Like whenever I talk about the strippers that live down the way about five doors down, they are always having parties, you know, five doors down. I said three doors down. They're five doors down. And they, you know, I had let that one girl into the I don't even know if I told that story about me letting a chick in thinking that she was my neighbor and she was banging on the door with her butt cheeks out. At 4 o'clock in the morning, she was banging on the door.
You did mention that.
Your door?
No, well, she was banging on the garage door that you have to get let in through digitally.
With her butt cheeks?
With her butt cheeks hanging out, and she was threatening to fight these people, and I was like, oh my God,
let's just see what happens.
I mean, this is going to be an assault, and it's going to be my fault. So the fourth floor is madness, and this person who unfortunately passed away lived again, one of my neighbors.
That's crazy.
How did they die, though, if it, like, wasn't, like, nobody got shot or...
So,
they weren't killed, right?
They were not, to my understanding, the police that were very good-looking. Thank you to those officers who were...
For just being so handsome.
Appreciate a man in uniform.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. They were so good-looking. But they were pulling out all of these prescription pills. Like, I'm talking, like, by the handfuls pulling them out. And one of the
out of their apartment,
which is on the same floor as yours,
on the same floor.
Wow.
And I wanted to be like, are there any antidepressants in there? Can I have some? But
probably not the time.
It would have been a great time to ask because I'm going to be so messed up from seeing this person downstairs, literally in the front lobby of my complex. And one of the things that I thought was so shocking was I saw, because clearly it was an investigation.
Right.
And the front office just closed down for the day. Like, they just locked up and just left this person there and everybody just, like, bolted. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting, but I was just like, my leasing manager seriously is, like, going to lunch right now. Are you joking? That's pretty on brand.
Did they have, like, those little, like, slippery when wet floor signs out around?
No, Mahoney, they did not.
Well, I mean, you're saying it's blocking the front door of your
some
complex.
Cones.
That would be something that you would decide. You're like, well, there's a body out there. I better put out the slippery when wet sign. Just, you know, alert everyone that there's something going on. It's interesting that the leasing office decided to close, though, because, you know, you got a vacancy.
That's a wrap.
Well, it's about time.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
At Dave and Mahoney.
They're everywhere.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram.
Listen anytime and on demand at DaveandMahoney.com.